I would ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of John, John 14, verse 1. Begin reading there. John 14, verse 1. We'll begin there and read down through the sixth verse. And now let us give our attention again to God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. And we do look again for God's blessing upon the public reading of his word for his name's sake. And with that word then read, let us seek His grace and help as we look at this portion this morning. Our Father in heaven, again as we have come to the Word of God, that more sure word of prophecy that we do well to take heed unto. It is a light that shineth in a dark place, till the day star arise in our own hearts. And so, Father, we pray, let us receive it as such, the Word of God. May it be that which we need this day, for this year. Father, forgive us of our sins that would grieve the Holy Spirit. May Christ Jesus, in His great love wherewith He loved us and gave Himself for us, be present among us today. For His great name's sake we ask it. Amen. I want to especially focus on verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me. And especially this word that Jesus says of Himself that He is the truth. Jesus saith unto him, I am the truth. I am the truth. Matthew Henry's father, Philip, speaking on a different text in this gospel, talked about Christ being the truth. And he mentioned, you know, that Pilate asked him, what is truth? But he didn't stay for an answer. And so Philip said we would have had from the very words of our Savior a definition. But as we said, Pilate didn't wait. So I think he gives a good idea of how to discern what is truth. And he gives three ways to discern it by opposing it to its contrary, which is a very good way to discern a lot of things. You see, what it isn't, and it sheds light upon what it is. And so I'm going to take his three points, though not his thoughts so much, as an outline for us to see Jesus as the truth. Jesus as the truth. And the first thing that he said was, Again, these are not all His words, but His outline is good. Christ Jesus is the reality, or we could say the very image, or the substance, as opposed to shadows or types. And so I will have a number of references that we'll look up this morning. So we'll begin now. And if you look at Colossians 2:17, and of course if it's too many, just if you have a note, you want to write them down and look later, that's very well. Well, breaking in here to Paul's great argument to hold fast to Christ and not to ceremonies that have passed away. But he says in verse 17 of some of these ceremonies, of some of these religious and Jewish observances particularly, he says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. You see the contrast there between what is a shadow, what the body actually casts. You think of yourselves when you walk in the sunshine and you look down, unless the sun is 12 noon maybe and you're walking right underneath it, but you look over and you see what? Your shadow. But that's not you. That tells you some things about yourself, but it's not you. You are the actual person casting it. So Paul is saying, look, these are shadows. These are things that have been done away because now we have the body. Same thing in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and notice, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Then he speaks of that prophecy in Psalm 40 about the body that the Lord prepared for Jesus to come into this world and offer up. And so, if we can read verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Christ Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. He is the body. He is the embodiment of all those shadows. He's the reality. He's a substance of it. If your sins would be forgiven, it is not good to take refuge in these religious performances. The things that Paul and the apostles say have ceased. You say, well, who would do that? Well, many do. Many folks like to go back to those things because there is an attraction to the flesh, that outward performance and circumstances and ceremonies. Brethren, Christ is the truth in that He has fulfilled them. He is all the things they were pointing to, or the shadow that He cast back in the Old Testament dispensation. But He's here now. He's the reality. He's the body. He is the true and one sacrifice for all. If we're purged in Him, then we have no more conscience of sins. They are truly forgiven. They're not made to be remembered year by year by that high priestly offering, the Day of Atonement, because it never could make us perfect if we had lived in that time. It cannot now either. Let us not go and try to make up things or go back to these things that God has set aside as if Jesus had not come. as if He had not died, as if He had not ascended into heaven, finished all of His work, and now is interceding upon that finished work He did here. Know that He is the truth, in that He is not the shadow, but He is the accomplishment, He is the reality of what those shadows and types prefigured. Well, secondly, He's also the truth as He is one that accurately communicates God's words, as opposed to all falsehood or deceit or error. As I am the truth. If you go back to Matthew 22, we have a word even of this from His enemies. Perhaps, maybe not meaning as full as it does truly mean, but at least they give a testimony to Him. Of course, these are the Pharisees, and they're trying to entangle Him. But nevertheless, they acknowledge His uprightness. We look at some others, but they say in verse 16 of Matthew 22, "And they sent out unto Him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that Thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest Thou for any man, for Thou regardest not the person of men." And how true that is. How accurate a description of Christ's ministry, of His own integrity and the fear of God in His own soul. He did not regard man. How often we fall there, don't we? We think, well, if I say that, you know, this might happen to me. But Christ graciously, firmly, and sometimes very zealously and vehemently always taught the way of God in truth. We can depend upon His sayings as coming from the Almighty, both of which are truth itself. They knew that. In fact, Jesus prays, if you turn back to John 17:17, past our text a couple chapters. Jesus taught verbally the way of God and truth. But He refers here in John 17, that great high priestly prayer. He says to His Father, "Sanctify them through Thy truth." And notice what He says, "Thy word is truth." The word which He would communicate by His Spirit to the apostles. He says there in His last sayings to them. The Word of God, which He is the incarnate Word, but the written Word He gives His stamp upon as the accurate communication of God by which we are to be sanctified. Again, John 18:37, He here before Pilate, and Pilate therefore said unto Him, "Art Thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." And notice, "that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Christ Jesus is the truth, and that He came to bear witness. He came to speak to it. He came to confirm it. In fact, as one points out, sometimes this word witness is used of those who die. We usually say martyrs for the truth. And Christ truly sealed with His own precious and really covenant blood the truth of God. Witness to it not only with His lips, which never erred, with his life that was perfect and an example of the truth being lived out day by day, both toward God and toward men. But he also sealed it. He confirmed it with his own precious, as we said, covenantal blood we'll come to think of in a few moments at this table. He came to bear witness to the truth. I won't turn it up, but you can write down if you'd like Revelation 3:14. He's called the faithful and true witness there. And what he says to the church at Laodicea. And thirdly, I wanted to focus here a little bit more perhaps this morning. Jesus is the truth in that he is faithful. Excuse me. As opposed to being unfaithful, to faltering upon his promises. So I just want to look at four areas of promises that I hope will help us as we think of Jesus Christ being the truth this year. The first is for our salvation. Matthew 11:28 is very familiar words. Matthew 11:28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's in the context of revealing the Father to men. The escape from the wrath to come. He thanks the Father that has been hidden from the wise and prudent earlier in this verses. But revealed unto babes. And he says, "Come unto me." We can't know the individuals that it is revealed to and those that it is hidden from. But yet it is. And yet it is something that Christ rejoices and thanks the Father for. That it seemed good in His sight to do that. Those are things, as Moses said, that are hidden, that are with the Lord. But here is something revealed for us to take in. And that is to come unto me if we are, what? Laboring and heavy laden with our sins. The fear of judgment to come. The knowledge that we are unreconciled to God. That we have strayed from the Lord. Most of all of us, I'm sure, would say that we have come, but make sure we have come. Whatever may in the spiritual realm, our relation to God and to His law and ourselves, give us that laboring and that heavy ladenness, the weariness. Christ says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Those that come to find rest in Christ from the sins, from their power, their filthiness, their judgment, will find Christ to be the truth. The truth. The faithful one. To give them rest. He cannot deny himself. He is faithful. We can take this to others. We can assure them on our own testimony, but even more because Christ is the truth. He will give them rest if they truly come. He will. He will not refuse them. He will give them rest. If you go back, just one other text in this regard to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 37. And this puts those two great things, the things that are secret, things that are hidden, but also the things that are revealed, right in one verse. He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." There's the hidden things. We don't know who all those are. But, look at this. "And him that cometh unto me," or cometh to me, "I will in no wise cast out." There's that sovereign determination, a sovereign election, and that covenant that the Father gave to the Son, a certain number, a certain group of persons, if you will, the certain fold of sheep, and they will all come. But there's also that invitation, that doctrine, that whoever comes to Jesus, Jesus will in no wise, in no way, in no case, cast out or push away. But He'll redeem them. Goes right along with that Matthew 11, 28 verse, does it not? It gives us, let us not be ashamed of the sovereign election. We talk to sinners. Christ was speaking to sinners. He told them both. He told them both. And sinners were saved. And they will be today too. Christ Jesus is the truth in regard to redeeming us from our sins that are great things that we labor with or that pull us down, that will destroy us in hell if we're not delivered. May we know it and may we give it to others with that assurance that Christ is the truth in this way. Secondly, another way He is faithful is in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And then we have that great finish to this chapter. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I won't read it all because we read a lot of verses there, but let me just say, if you look down, Paul says in verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels and principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." And that's a quick reading. But may the effects of it be long-lasting. That there's nothing now nothing in the past, nothing to come for the child of God. Those whom He predestinated, those whom He called, those whom He justified, those whom He glorified, that can separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In fact, it is so sure that Christ is so, in His love and His atonement and His intercession, is so faithful that everything in all these categories works for the good of them that are His. They will be continually conformed to the image of the ever-blessed Son of God. Brethren, sometimes very difficult to grasp, to give credit. In other words, to believe this is true when we're in the midst of something. We're humans. And so the senses, our perceptions, many times confuse us. So that our reason, our belief is lagging. Think of Asaph in Psalm 73. He almost despaired. He almost wanted to be and almost tried to enter into being the ungodly. So everything he could see, everything he was experiencing, gave him ill thoughts of God and His dealings with him. I say we're no different. The things we experience can be so strong that they overpower what we know and we would normally say is true. Brethren, store this up in your soul. We all will have trouble. We don't know what troubles. But man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward because this earth and this life is cursed. The ground will bring forth thorns and thistles. The labors of the woman are increased. Why? Because of sin. Brethren, let us lay hold upon this. Every one of those things is working together for our good. It cannot, it has not the power, it has not the wisdom, it has not the strength of time to take us, to separate us, to tear us off of the love of God in Christ Jesus, and to thwart our conformity to our Lord Jesus. It doesn't have it. It cannot. Thirdly, Christ Jesus is faithful in our daily life in giving us what we need day by day to go through it. This is in Deuteronomy 33, so you were already there. Maybe I should have thought to tell you to put a marker there, but anyway, it's Deuteronomy 33, verse 25, and this is the blessing of Asher, tribe of Asher. Deuteronomy 33:25, the second part says, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Not only the length of them, but what's in them, what they're filled with. The oppositions, the wars, the tumults, the joys, successes. God will give us strength. Remember Paul, he had to go through tribulation with that thorn in the flesh, and he prayed thrice, the Lord would take it from him. But the answer of the Lord to him was what? My grace is sufficient for thee. For in Paul's weakness, the Lord's strength was made perfect. There was that strength to Asher, if you will, from the Lord. What a thing to remember when we rise in the morning. We see that which would normally overwhelm us. Let us think back. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Christ said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And this is part of what it means. That He will faithfully give us the grace, the strength to walk through that day, to do His will in it. It's not easy to be humble, not to forgive others, to ask forgiveness, to pray, to read our scriptures, to do all that which is our duty to do. But what does God say? My grace is sufficient. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Let us seek Him for it and then go into it, confident that God will help us. That God will help us. That is part of looking back then, being fully persuaded that Jesus is the truth. He is faithful to that. And He will help us. And then lastly, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Of course, I don't want to limit our understanding to just these four ideas we find in the Scriptures. Or as you go through the Scriptures, you will find many things you can apply to Christ Jesus being the truth in all these ways. The reality as opposed to shadows, the one that communicates accurately the Word of God, not any deceit, no falsehood, and also His faithfulness as opposed to unfaithfulness or faltering. On His promises and on His will, on His determinations. Just to give us a sample and to help us. So the last one I want to point out today is 2 Corinthians 3:18. And this is, maybe we should just read verse 17 as well. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In other words, there is that taking away of the veil over the mind to see the Lord Jesus in the Scriptures. And then He says, but we all, those that have the Spirit, with open face beholding as in a glass or in a mirror or darkly even, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We will not fully see Christ until we come to heaven. John says we shall see Him then as He is. Not that the Bible, as we just said, is a lie or any deceit. It's fully sufficient to our position here. In every way accurate. We don't always comprehend everything that can be comprehended. As God does. We'll see much more when we get to heaven. But notice, even what we see, as we behold Christ Jesus, changes us, transforms us, molds us, if you will, into the same image of our Lord Jesus, from glory to glory, by the Spirit of the Lord. If we come today to the Lord's table, we are to see Him as our sacrificed Christ, whose body was broken for our sins. God laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. His stripes are that which heals us. His blood was shed, the blood of the New Testament, that confirmed all the promises of God to His elect. That they might be sure, being of grace to all the seed, We look at that. We are changed into His image. We see His sacrifice for us. And He says to us, follow me. Sacrifice for me. Live unto me. If I have died for thee, it is so that we might not live unto ourselves, Paul says, but unto Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Brethren, as we think, as we view, as it were, with an open face, Christ Jesus here, the truth, let us ask Him and believe Him that He will change us into His image as we behold Him. He is faithful to do it. Well, let us put Him to His own promise. And He has determined this to be, and again, how that works, the Spirit of God. Something you can see. But let us believe that He will, by that Spirit, change us into His image. Expect Him. Christ, Thou art the truth. Be faithful here to this determination to change me into the image more and more of Christ Jesus. Little by little, as it were. Well, let us do pray together. Our Father in heaven, we have come to consider this day, Jesus Christ is the truth. Oh Lord, may we not fail to appropriate, to take this to our very selves. Lord, help us not to simply know it in the intellectual way that we may recite it to others or to ourselves. But, oh God, may we also consent to it in our souls. Oh God, that He is the truth to us. And He is that real sacrifice for my sin. Oh Lord, that He is that one who spoke the word of God in truth with no error, no deceit. And that He is that true one. He will perform that which He has promised. In every promise. Lord, write that upon our hearts this year. May we store these things up and practice them and be blessed in that deed. Now, Lord, continue with us, we pray, as we would come to the table in a few moments. We receive our brother into membership. Lord, rejoice our hearts, we pray. For Christ Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.